Hey, everybody. Fan of the Charlie Kirk Show. Early voting is surging. I tell you about what I saw at University of Arizona. And then we have Ryan James Gruduski with a great conversation about the Kamala Harris and Bret Baier interview. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Go vote right now and get a friend to do the same. Your task, your duty, your purpose is to go find a voter and get them to go vote early. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. And as always, you can become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Today is the day to go vote early. We are seeing a massive surge at the polls right now. And it is really remarkable to see. Yesterday, we had a phenomenal event at the University of Arizona in Tucson, which is supposed to be a very, very liberal college campus. We'll show you kind of a contrast between last year and this year. We had an amazing event with Tulsi Gabbard last evening with nearly 2,000 people on a college campus. We had the daytime event where we had thousands of students pass by. Just a remarkable impact. Now, I want to show you this. I want to load up this image first, and then I want to show you how things have grown over the last year. Because what we're experiencing is not normal, and the media is actively and intentionally ignoring it. You see, the media is actively not paying attention to what is happening on these college campuses, what we're doing. This is one of the most exciting news stories in the country. It's one of the most important things that is occurring. And very few outlets are even mentioning that the most popular thing happening on the college campuses right now are the tours that we are doing. So first, I want to show this cut. I want to show you University of Arizona a year ago. We went and did a Change My Mind, a Prove Me Wrong event at the University of Arizona 1 year ago. Can we put this up on screen first? It was well attended by maybe 100 students. Look at this. It's kind of, you know, sparsely attended. It's fine. You know, no big deal there. We had some great conversations and took a couple selfies. Now, I want you to remember that image. Now look at what happened yesterday. Look at this picture of what happened yesterday. Thousands of students occupying the entire student mall. The energy is palpable on the ground, everybody. These students are saying, when can I vote? When can I vote? There is a transformational patriotic reset happening. There is a real-time resurgence of love of country. There is a real-time elevation of the beautiful things. And we're seeing it occur at the grassroots level. And the work that Turning Point Action is doing to get out the vote and to drive early voters is making a sizable and tangible difference. This is not supposed to be happening at University of Arizona. And you can contrast that, by the way, with the crowd that the sitting U.S. Senator Mark Kelly drew when he went to Tucson. You see, Mark Kelly went to Tucson last week and drew maybe 40 people. And I'll show you the picture. When Mark Kelly went on campus, he had a pathetic crowd of maybe 40 people. And of course, the media won't say this. Look at the picture that Mark Kelly drew, you know, very intimate, kind of a little gathering. Same exact location, mind you. Look at what Mark Kelly, the sitting Democrat U.S. Senator, drew at University of Arizona. You know, a nice little crowd of Dems. And then go back to our picture. Boom. The MAGA takeover of college campuses is occurring. And the New York Times and CNN, Washington Post, they won't touch this story because they know that it would only make it bigger. They know that it would only make it stronger. So they're trying to act as if it doesn't exist, even though this is going so viral right now on social media. This has never happened in my 12 years of doing this. This type of spirit, enthusiasm. And we're seeing on the ground, correlated with what's also happening in voting patterns across the country. We are seeing people embrace early voting. In Georgia, we have record turnout in the first couple days. It must be sustained. In Arizona, we've had a spike in early voting amongst Republicans and Trump supporters. And today, I want to remind you, today is the first day of early voting in North Carolina. So if you live in North Carolina, go vote and vote in person. In-person early voting is open today. In-person early voting is open today. Now, there's so much to talk about this hour. We can talk about the Bret Baier, Kamala Harris conversation. I want to get into that. But I need to finish this point, that it's not just a matter of transferring Election Day votes and reallocating them to early votes. What we are seeing is we are seeing new voters that are coming into the system. We are seeing first-time voters that are being caught up in the surge and in the energy. It's not just a matter of Sally Sue Marie who votes on Election Day and now instead she votes on October 17th. Instead, we are seeing new voters, people that have never voted before, that are coming into the system. These are net new voters. And don't just take my word for it. We are seeing in the data and on the ground, individuals that have registered to vote but did not vote at all. Let me read you just some of these amazing emails we're receiving from Carrie. Charlie, emailing you from Cherokee County, Georgia. I listen to your show every day and want to share my great news. By the way, this is the power of this program. Millions of people watch and listen to the show. If all of you did what Carrie did, we can win. Listen to this. One of our customers stopped in yesterday complaining about high insurance premiums. And before she left, I asked her if she was voting. Honestly, Carrie, God bless you. You're taking in the energy of the show and you're translating it into action, action. This is in the must-win state of Georgia. She's 55 and didn't know if she was even registered. I sat down with her, checked her voter status online, and although it was active, she had never voted in her life. No history of votes ever. She didn't even know how to or what to expect. So I walked her through all of it, step by step, from showing identification to even collecting her sticker. I printed a sample ballot for her, and she promised she would go, and she said she knew she had to go vote for Trump. We then checked her son's voter status. He's active but has never voted in his life. She said she would take him and take her with him. So God willing, that's two more votes for Trump. I'm thrilled to be part of this movement. Thank you for all that you and Turning Point do. We're going to turn the great state of Georgia back to red. Carrie, we're going to win Georgia because of people like you. That's two new voters for Trump that were zero propensity. They're on the voting rolls and they're not showing up. And if you every day find one person like that, you break the industrial poll complex. You break the system that is currently in place where they say, oh, you know, it's tied. No. They're not polling people that have never voted before. It is a game changer. It shakes the matrix at its core. And that is what I'm saying is go find low propensity voters. That is exactly what I'm talking about. And there are millions of them out there. Millions of them out there that are registered that do not show up and do not vote. But they're suffering under high insurance. They're suffering from the open border. And this is the mission of Turning Point Action. I'm not interested in high propensity voters. That's fine. Instead, I'm interested in can we find lower propensity individuals and get them into the system. Today is the first day of voting in North Carolina. Georgia's early voting. Go vote yourself and find someone who's not as interested and get them out to vote.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Rough Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Rough Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better, and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Rough Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead, and Rough Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk.
Todd says, my daughter home on fall break from college in Florida. We live in Georgia, is headed to the polls with me this morning, and we banked our votes. First time 19-year-old voter vote for Donald Trump. Well done, Todd. You are a good father, and you are helping save the country. So Vaughn Hilliard, who I know, he's somewhat fair, but obviously on the left, but he's given us a fair shake throughout the years. He's known as kind of like Mr. Arizona in MSNBC. It's actually very interesting. Lately, left-wing media is at least giving us a little bit fairer of a shake than even establishment right-wing media. We're seeing this right now, that establishment entrenched right-wing interests actually are quietly hoping that we don't win this election, because it means that Donald Trump actually might become president. And I hope, and I'll tell the full story after the election, because it's a little bit of a detour from the core ethos that we are emphasizing in the next 19 days. But the establishment Republican operatives want us to lose and lose the country, because if we were to win, they won't get credit for it, and Donald Trump were to win. I have so much evidence of this that I'll share after the election, but we'll get to that later. So Vaughn Hilliard is Mr. MSNBC Arizona. Again, I actually think he operates somewhat in good faith, but he laces all this stuff with election denial and misinformation, whatever. That doesn't bother me. And to his credit, he went out to Kingman, Arizona. Now, I know right now there are some folks in Kingman, Arizona watching this program. In fact, we have a very strong contingent in Mojave County that listen to this program. Now, Mojave County is Western Arizona. This includes Bullhead City, Lake Havasu, Kingman. In fact, Donald Trump got net 50-ish thousand votes just out of Mojave County. Now, Mojave County, we can run up the score even more. Their population has increased. We've done more with voter registration. We had a lot of people that didn't vote there. So we can even run up the score more in Mojave County. So Vaughn was dispatched to Kingman, Arizona. Again, I love these assignments so much. As I've said in previous episodes, this is like them sending a National Geographic correspondent into the wild. And now the snow leopard goes above the ridge and goes gently into the wild, as if they're like observing animals in their natural habitat. So Vaughn is the National Geographic correspondent for MSNBC. He is the MAGA in the wild correspondent. Here's what he found in Kingman, Arizona. Play cut 72.
And I should note, we did not find a single person who audibly would tell us that they voted for Kamala Harris. These were Trump supporters getting out to vote early in the all-important Mojave County. We met one man who did not vote in 2020, but he said he was horrified by the state of the country, so he is voting here in 2024. We met three other voters, one that moved from California, one that moved from Oregon, blue states, who said that they moved here and were eager to vote in a state where Donald difference. And so it's those types of voters that not only Republicans are watching come to the polls, but also Democrats have a close eye, understanding that they need to really win the Maricopa County area to make up for any potential juicing of turnout here among the MAGA faithful in places like Mojave County. Jose,
I want to repeat this. Some people say, the skeptics will say, but Charlie, early voting is just transferring Election Day votes into earlier votes, therefore it's no net advantage. The Vaughn Hilliard piece says, no. There are new voters that are coming in, because when you open up the voting portfolio or the voting days, you're going to have first-time voters that now have more options. And guess what? Those first-time voters, they're not as likely, because they've never voted before, to treat Election Day as almost a holy day and a sacrosanct day that many of us do. Arizona voter to MSNBC says reason he voted early was because Trump told him to. Play cut 73.
Well, the difference is going to be that everybody's coming out early, and everybody that we talk to has made a special effort this year to vote. And it's, you can see it here in the parking lot. You know, this library's usually got five cars in it. There's a ton of cars in it now.
So you voted early for the first time?
For the first time.
Why did you vote early this year?
Honestly, because Donald Trump told me to.
What a good answer.
He keeps saying it, and I've been thinking about it, and here I am.
So if you've already voted, which many of you have, what is your purpose? Go find that low propensity voter. Download the Turning Point Action app and chase ballots and get them out. Just yesterday, I personally did two speeches, did 2 hours of radio, was in Tucson all over the place. I chased six ballots. It's not hard. You know what I did? I texted people that I know that are kind of lazy in Arizona, and I said, no excuses, guys. Get it done. And it's Charlie, I voted. You know why? Because they wanted me to stop harassing them. It's that simple. So find the people, gently, politely, nag and harass until they vote for Trump, and then find another one. And do that for the next 19 days.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com.
Super excited for our next guest here because he's super smart. And also, it is a topic we haven't even touched yet because I have been just celebrating our early voting surge. And I want you guys to keep emailing them, freedom@charliekirk.com. Our next guest is Ryan James Gerdusky, founder of the 1776 Project PAC, and also at natpop.substack.com. Ryan, welcome back to the program. Ryan, we have not even touched on the Bret Baier, Kamala Harris interview. I would believe it was closest to the Hindenburg yesterday. Walk us through your analysis of it, and I want to play some pieces of tape. But first, Ryan, your thoughts on that interview that happened yesterday.
Well, I think that if you're going to do a media strategy and change your media strategy to reach out to voters you have not really spoken to, which is what Kamala Harris is doing, you have to ask yourself, who was she trying to talk to, right? Who was the goal of that interview? Was it Republicans who are open to voting for her, or was it to replay her hottest clips for the Morning Joe the next day? I think the intention was for moderate Republicans, but I think in the end, she kind of surrendered to just going back to the Morning Joe crowd. Her answer on immigration was horrendous. She wouldn't let Bret Baier actually bring up the facts correctly as he tried to do. She interrupted him that she offered amnesties, not an actual solution to the border crisis. She was conflating two different immigration bills, neither which one would have actually solved the border crisis. Her answer on Biden's age and what she knew with what is probably one of the greatest cover-ups ever in American history, that the president had a severe mental decline. She wouldn't answer that. And then when she was asked about the transgender surgeries for illegal immigrants, she said, "I'll follow the law," which is not an answer because you helped create the law. So she had a few good moments for Democrats as far as attacking Trump goes, things that were effective, one-liners that they would like. But as far as reaching out to Republicans who may not like Trump but care about the issues quite a bit, I think she totally bombed.
I completely agree. And just to be clear, Bret Baier had a really – first of all, I just want to be fair. I thought Bret Baier did well. I think objectively did well. I wish that Bret Baier would have at least allowed – the non-answer on the immigration question to marinate a little bit more, because that was actually the best part of, you know what I mean? He said, how many illegals are in this country because of you? And I think that that would have been totally fair for him to just be with a dog with a bone. Be like, well, Vice President, can you take a guess of how many people are illegally in the country? I think that was a great question that could have been better executed. All right, so let's play some of this tape here just to kind of set the table here. Let's go to cut 88. You and I both know what I'm talking about. Brett Baer with a great follow-up. Play cut 88.
More than 70% of people tell the country is on the wrong track. They say the country is on the wrong track. If it's on the wrong track, that track follows 3.5 years of you being vice president and President Biden being president. That is what they're saying, 79% of them. Why are they saying that? If you're turning the page, you've been in office for 3.5 years.
And Donald Trump has been running for office.
But you've been the person holding the office.
Come on.
Madam
you
Vice
and I
President.
Both know what I'm talking about. You and I both know what I'm talking about.
I actually don't. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is that over the last decade,
but
people
you're the lever
have become.
Of power.
But listen.
So, Ryan, first of all, I thought Brett's answer there was great. And this is this condescending elitist. Well, you and I both know what I'm talking about. And Brett was like, well, actually, I don't. Like, don't do that. Like, what is this? It's also this pathological, insane effort to make it seem as if Trump is the incumbent while she's running the country. Ryan, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's very hard to run as the change candidate when you are the incumbent vice president. I think, and she's using her gender and race to be the change factors, not really the policies, because she kept on saying, my administration will be different than Biden's. And Brett said, well, how? And then she couldn't give an answer to how it would be different than Biden's. I thought that was great. I do think Brett should have let her talk a little longer before trying to interrupt her. But she did show up late to the interview. And Brett said that her staff was cutting it off as quickly as possible. Because this is, I think, the very first time there was a genuinely, not hostile interview, but adversarial interview she's faced in any real... I mean, maybe she had one on 60 Minutes, but that was really the only other adversarial interview she ever did as running for president. And I think that she completely squandered the moment where she could have sat there and said something like, you know, we got it wrong in the past, but I am a new generation. But she didn't, I guess, didn't want to sit there and disrespect Joe Biden. And at the same time, she couldn't bash Barack Obama because it was 8 years of Obama, 4 years of Trump, 4 years of Biden. So 12 of the 16 were one party. It was your party. And you can't really bash the two men that were involved in that time period. So you have to go back to Trump running for office. I don't know. What does it matter that he was running for office in 2015? He wasn't in charge of anything besides the Trump, you know, company.
What they're getting at, and this is, let me make sense of this, is that Kamala Harris has, her team has data that the American people are fatigued with the current state of politics. And so they're misreading that data. And they think that their strategy can be like, oh, you're fatigued because of Trump. And therefore, he's kind of this like shadow and decade long incumbent that we need to turn the page on. And that's such a flawed political. No, but that's what it is, though. I'm telling you, that's what David Plouffe has authored here, is that the data, again, the analysis is wrong, but the data is itself like, yes, Americans are fatigued with politics. Americans are kind of tired of these cycles and they want it to be over with. So the trick they've done is like, okay, Trump is this decade long incumbent, even though when he's not in power, he's still ruining our politics and like everything will be great once we remove him. And it is such a deeply flawed and risky political strategy to try and convince the American body politic that, oh, I'm actually not in charge when I'm in charge. So still give me more power. This is what you were just mentioning. Play cut 87.
Brett.
Madam Vice President, it was a policy decision in the early part of your administration. I will let one of the mothers talk about it. Take a listen.
Because of the Biden-Harris administration open border policies catch and release, they were enrolled in the Alternatives to Detention program. This meant that they were released into the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter Jocelyn Nungare's life. I believe the Biden-Harris administration open border policies are responsible for the death of my daughter.
That's the early days. So do you owe them an apology is what I'm saying.
I will tell you that I am so sorry for her loss. I'm so sorry for her loss. Sincerely. But let's talk about what is happening right now with an individual who does not want to participate in solutions.
Okay, Ryan, and that's actually not the cut I wanted, but it still works. Your reaction, Ryan, I know you got a lot to say.
Yeah. I mean, so first of all, with what you're saying before about they're tired of politics, they are tired of the media's coverage of politics. They are tired of the way that the media has made Trump the center of everyone's life. It is not healthy for a presidential candidate to be the center of your life, where you feel like every day may be the end of the world because the media is telling you it could be the end of the world. On the immigration thing, what she doesn't want to admit, and what, see, here's, she does something very, very, very important. She sits there and says border crossings are down from their height, which they are. And then she says we needed a congressional action, which is untrue. They had all the laws on the books that they needed. They only started using some of them, and very, very few, rather recently, in order to sit there and bring numbers down before the election. Her entire thing, that it's an act of Congress. Congress gave the president almost every law he needs back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. This is a trope that she's using to sit there and say, it's not my fault, push the buck to somebody else, but also we're having good results. It's not, you can't have both ways.
Yeah, and can you speak to this, though? Again, we mentioned it briefly, but this kind of rather insulting idea that Trump is still running the country for 10 years, that Trump is the deep state, that Trump's actually in charge. That's basically their argument, that Trump is the deep state, that even though they have all the power and control of the agencies, Trump has been this like decade-long pseudo dictator of the country.
Right. Somehow Donald Trump is able to end bills from being passing. Donald Trump is able to sit there one Truth Social post at a time from stopping Congress from reacting and doing it. That is, if that were true, when Donald Trump was president, he would have gotten his, you know, all the money for the wall on day one. They have this dual vision of Donald Trump, that he is a dementia-ridden, you know, low IQ individual and a secret mastermind who's able to plot destructions from the back of his phone when he's, you know, going to McDonald's. This is like the two separate worlds that Donald Trump lives in their head, in, you know, simultaneously, and they can't kind of concretely get which one it is. She calls him, like in the interview, she calls him, I think, a diminished man or somebody with, you know, signs of decline or something to that effect. And at the same time, he is secretly operating the country. To any thinking person, you sit there and say, that doesn't make any sense. Which one is it? You are either, you know, an evil genius, or you are a bumbling fool who happens to be the luckiest man in America. But only to a liberal mind could someone like Kamala Harris be a genius and Joe Biden be completely healthy, as Morning Joe said he was. And Donald Trump's an idiot, and so is Elon Musk. And they're just lucky throughout their entire life. It doesn't make any sense when you sit there and you think about it.
You know, it's just dumb luck that we get satellites into orbit. It's just a roll of the dice. I hate when that happens. When just random people just like, wow, that rocket happened to deliver a package to the National Space Station.
My favorite excuse that liberals will say is, well, somebody else would have invented it eventually. You know, dozens of people like in Ethiopia waiting to invent things. And they're just, yes, it is deranged. It's a deranged way of thinking. Yeah.
Everyone, I want to tell you to vote no on Amendment 3. On November 5th, Florida residents will vote on Prop 3, which is to legalize marijuana. Look, Amendment 3 does not have time, place, or manner restrictions. It goes too far. This means if it passes, recreational marijuana would be allowed everywhere. 11 million registered voters in Florida and an estimated 36% intend to vote no on Prop 3. So why are we against this? What does marijuana have to do to the minds of young people? Do you know it could reduce IQ points in young adults by an average of 8 to 10 points? This is about corporate greed. It's not about the voters. It's about making them wealthier. Now, here's the call to action, everybody. Vote no on 3. You should learn more about it. It goes too far. Let me say it again. It goes too far. For more information, go to no-on3.com. Vote against the legalization of marijuana. Ryan, I want to make sure we play this. I think it's just great of you on CNN. Where is this tape here? How recent was this, Ryan? This was obviously in the last couple days, correct?
2 days ago.
Okay, let's play 90 and then you riff on it. Play cut 90, please.
Just yesterday, Ryan, about how in the context of riots, he was saying, let's just bring the military into it to deal with American citizens. I mean, that happened yesterday.
Right. But there are the post George Floyd riots resulted in excess of over 15,000 black male deaths in this country.
Wow.
How?
Yeah.
The surge of violent crime. It was like Ferguson, the Ferguson effect and the Floyd effect.
Respectfully, you got to explain to me how George Floyd's death.
Yeah.
I need causation here.
Yes,
because what happens is
after the Ferguson riot and after the Floyd riot, policemen, in fear of their jobs many times and political coverage, pull back from their jobs, resulting in an increased level of homicide.
Hold on.
You can look at the Washington Post.
Ryan, we got to stop you there because you're literally making a connection out of your own conjecture.
No,
you cannot.
It's a real thing.
That.
Look up.
These people are stupid. Ryan, please.
Yeah, I loved it when what's his face started doing his foghorn impersonations. Like, I never heard of this thing before. It was so insane. I said it. I was more shocked because I genuinely thought that everyone working in the news industry would have heard about something that CNN itself covered. So I was in shock at parts of times that they were sitting there and saying it because I thought they were – I honestly thought it was like a ruse. I was like, they must be pulling my leg that they are working in the media and don't know very basic things on crime statistics, considering a lot of people on the show that I was on talk about race like 5 million times a day. It's how they've built an entire career. So that was exhausting and infuriating. And then I was going back and forth on it and I was like, do I – in my head – because – when you're doing live TV, and Charlie, you know, because you've done it, like there's what you're saying, you're listening, and you're thinking, what am I going to say next? And how is it going to play, you know, to the audience, to the people I'm around? Like there's your brain is moving a mile a minute. And I'm thinking, do I bring up like race and violent crime statistics right now? And like, do I just throw a nuclear bomb in the middle of it and then go to commercial break and then sit with these people for the next hour? So didn't do that. But I was just going back and forth on a lot of their talking points and nonsense. And it's hard when there's five people screaming at you the entire time. But I'll tell you, after the segment was over, it was like one of the nastiest moments ever. There were two ladies sitting to my right. And one, we went to commercial, one looked at the other, pointed at me, goes, what's his name? And the other one goes, I have no idea. And I'm like, I'm 10 inches from you. Like, do you think I don't see what you're saying? Like, and then she goes, oh, you're a very feisty person. I was like, am I like on drugs? What is going on right now? And then we were going into commercial and Bakari Sellers, who was doing the Loghorn impersonation before, he was in the middle of commercial break. He is like very close to Kamala. He was like, you know, Trump needs Pennsylvania to sit there and to win nationwide. He can't without Pennsylvania. I go, well, that's not true. And he's like, how is it not true? And I'm like going through different scenarios to get to 270.
Yeah, of course.
And he goes, yeah. And he's like, yeah, no, but he needs Pennsylvania. And I'm like, no, I'm going through it right now.
No,
like,
he doesn't.
The third time.
No, there's six different scenarios, such as winning North Carolina, Georgia,
Charlie,
Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin. I mean, yeah. So
I know that. I know that. You know that. I literally was doing simple math. Like it was addition. It was just straight up addition. And at the end, I was like, if you didn't eat breakfast this morning, would you be hungry? Like, what would you do if you, that was, I honestly wanted to do like a live IQ test in real time because I was like, maybe I'm just not on, maybe no one has read a book this decade. Like maybe that's what's going on. And I'm just in the wrong room. I love Abby and I love a lot of people on. That was a specifically very hostile environment when I was mentioning something that is a very well documented thing. And everyone was like,
of course it is.
This is, yeah. I mean, if I was about to say, like, listen, we all need to read Steve Saylor and just have a moment right now. And we'll have a really educational experience for a CNN audience. But I didn't go that far.
Well, maybe next time you should. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.